Good morning. Welcome to worship. Welcome to St. Mark's today on a celebration day, celebrating 50 years of ministry here at St. Mark's. We're going to continue and prolong and extend our celebration for a number of months. This month, we focus on the blessings of the past. And so we have invited a guest speaker, Pastor Pope, to come and celebrate with us, to remember the past with us, and to celebrate the Word of God. And so he will deliver the sermon today, so we thank him for his time, his preparation, and in advance for feeding us with the gospel. The order of service that we will follow is printed once again in the service booklet for this morning. We open with our opening hymn, hymn 528. Let us worship the Lord. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking him, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil, and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me. Yeah. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you have promised to be with your church forever. We thank you for those who founded this community of believers and for the signs of your favor over these past years. Increase our faith, knit us together in the bonds of love, and make our fellowship an example to all people. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. If you take our triune God out of our ministry and out of our lives, we have nothing to celebrate today. We have no anniversary today. But because God has been faithful in who He is and what He has promised, we have 50 years of celebrating to do this coming year. This lesson from Paul reminds us of the blessings we have from God the Father, the work that God the Son did for us, and His gift of the Holy Spirit, which builds us up and strengthens us in who our God is and what He's done. St. Paul celebrated with his congregation. We celebrate together with the first lesson from Ephesians chapter 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this day is recorded in the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 17. Jesus has been praying for St. Mark's. He's been praying for you for way more than 50 years. In this lesson, Jesus prays for the establishment and blessing of his church. He prays for those who will go out with his good news. He prays for those who hear the good news. Your Savior still prays for you today. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed. I am coming to you now. But I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated.
Thank you.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. My sermon text on this anniversary Sunday is recorded in Psalm 27, beginning at verse 4. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Dear friends in Christ, after Pastor Stray had called and asked me to preach for this anniversary Sunday, the news took a little while to sink in. I think it was a couple of days later that I asked my wife, Patty, what anniversary is this? And we wondered, well, when did we leave Citrus Heights? 1980. Well, then that must mean it's 35 years since we've been back there. That must mean 50 years. It can't be, 50 years. I still find it amazing that this parish is celebrating its 50th anniversary. Back in 1965, this was one of Synod's new and bright mission congregations when gasoline was selling for 31 cents. And I remember what a shock it was when gasoline prices rocketed through the roof in 1977, and I got out here, came over the Sierras, and gas was selling for more than 31 cents. So what we're going to do this morning is take a look back on the basis of Psalm 27 and then review and then see how this affects the future. King David says, one thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. What does this mean? Well, David is telling us what he loves to do most. He loves to worship. He wants to worship always. And where? In some special place dedicated for this purpose. And why? To gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Now follow me, please. What is it that makes God so beautiful that he should be worshiped anywhere? Well, we can get at that easy by asking just the reverse. What is it about God that makes him so scary that he should be avoided everywhere? Well, we remember how Adam and Eve hid after they had chewed sin and swallowed. Or remember how the Israelites crept and cowered beneath Mount Sinai when God was giving the commandments to Moses. They were telling Moses, stop it, because we're going to die of fright. They felt so guilty, and God was so holy. And you know, that's always the way it is. Sin terrifies us and makes God look so scary, a lesson that Adam and Eve and the Israelites and we learn from little on. Randy, shouted the boy's mother, come here once. Didn't I tell you, stay out of the cookies? Go. Go until supper is ready. Go to your room. I'm angry with you. God is angry with you. So off Randy goes to his room until supper. And wouldn't you know it? The storm that had been gathering all day decides to let loose. The wind beats against the window. The rain crashes down, and then thunder and lightning. And the trembling little boy is looking out the window, thinking about what his mother had said and the words ringing in his ears, and he's murmuring, all this fuss over a cookie? All that and more. All that and much more. We deserve God's dooms and glooms for our collective heresies and murders and adulteries, lies and rebellion and stolen cookies, and thousands of ways we break those Ten Commandments. Or, as many of us used to say 35 years ago in the words of that blue hymnal, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. So, the beauty of the Lord then is precisely this, that for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, you have been gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Those words also from the 1941 synodical hymnal. What a beautiful way to sum up what David's wish is, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. To seek, that means to pore over your Bible, to pore over your hymnal, to meditate on what it means to have what you don't deserve, a Savior, forgiveness of sins, salvation. And speaking of that hymnal, wasn't that a great mission tool, those of you who can remember? A mission tool for those who wanted to gaze on the Lord here at St. Mark's. I was here from 1977 to 1980. And I can remember half a mile from here, there were cows grazing. Do they still graze now? I didn't recognize the place when I came in. A lot of time has passed. I was here for 3 years, and in the space of those 3 years, if I heard it once from a visitor, I heard it 2 million times. This is exactly the kind of church that I left back home in Wisconsin or Michigan or Minnesota. And you're even using the blue hymnal. What made them so happy? Had they found the museum of their dreams? No, not really. They were searching for a place to seek the beauty of the Lord here at St. Mark's Wisconsin Synod. And some of these people that I met were Wells from back east, but many more were from the Missouri Synod. And that shaped this congregation. And this congregation then seemed to me more of a Missouri Synod congregation than a Wisconsin Synod one, but that was good. And I'll give you some examples. 1 year, I don't know if it was 77, 78, 79, or 80, but I remember 1 year, every last man on the church council was ex-Missouri, except for Pastor Fronsman and me. Everyone. And then I had an experience once in an elders meeting and heard myself criticized for something that no pastor in the whole history of the state of Wisconsin ever heard himself criticized for. The chairman said that I had preached not long enough. I had preached too short a sermon. It was 11 minutes. But this is not going to be an 11-minute sermon. It was a good experience for me to hear. I was green and inexperienced, and it was good to hear that there were people hungering to hear that word. Oh, and I'll tell you about this one, too, now that I'm on a roll. One Sunday, in a voters' meeting, I heard my orthodoxy challenged over the issue of banners. Now I see you've got two really swell banners in front, professionally made. But someone didn't like the banners that I had made together with the youth group. And I ran into one of the members of that youth group just outside the church when I was coming, and she remembered that. One critic said that the lettering of my banners looked too radical, adding this zinger: "This is when all the trouble in the Missouri Synod happened, when they brought in them banners." I was hair on fire mad, but I kept my mouth shut because I knew what it was all about. A lot of people back in the 1960s and the 1970s were hurt when that bigger synod that they dearly loved began allowing pastors and professors to distract worshipers from the beauty of the Lord. And how? By introducing false doctrines here and there throughout the nation, like evolution or situation ethics or loose fellowship practices in classrooms or in chancels. Now, my young bride that I had brought to California came from a conservative Missouri Synod congregation in Racine. So she fit in here real well. She felt at home. So she was also flabbergasted to hear all of these sad stories from other Lutheran people that brought them home here. And the word was out then, as I learned, that it was here at St. Mark's that you could gaze on the beauty of the Lord without the distraction of false teachings and practices. And you know, that influx of people then, with grateful and at times understandably wary spirits, really energized this congregation. It brought them in, but it also wanted them to take it out, this gospel, this doctrine. And that attitude spread into outreach. This new church, which is now 35 years old, but when I left, it was just a foundation. This is a prime example of what truth does to people and the thirst to hang on to it and then want to share it. Look, it's like this. Remember what the psalmist said about gazing at the Lord? What did it do for him? He says, "In the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock." Safety, security, a safe harbor when the storms of life blow in. Aren't people always looking for that then as well as now? Jesus is that rock, and you possess this knowledge, that news, which means you still have the greatest power in the universe right here. The gospel, the news that God, the creator of all, the judge, is also our Father for Jesus' sake. For the sake of Jesus, he forgives our sins, declaring us forgiven, personally inviting everyone to believe that truth. And this is the gospel which you have possessed in truth and purity all these many years. But as I've been trying to tell you, this is not something that we hoard, but share. Nothing we hide, but proclaim. Listen to the psalmist who writes, "At this tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord." Worship. That is the mission spirit, whatever the size or the age of a congregation. Let not only God continue to hear your worship and praise and your testimony, but your community likewise. You're still gazing on the Lord's beauty after all these years, so hold out the gospel that you hold on to. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
We take a moment to encourage one another and witness our faith. This morning we do so with the Confession of Faith on page 10 in your worship booklet, words from the explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed from Martin Luther's Small Catechism. I believe that I cannot, by my own thinking or choosing,
believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, for coming to me. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and fully forgives all sins to me and all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead, and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true.
Please be seated as we worship with our offering. Your prayers have been requested by Mr. John Lervold for his family. His Uncle John is dealing with Alzheimer's and complications that come with that, and also his Aunt Joan is seeking emergency surgery to treat some internal bleeding, so we will pray for John and for his family members. We've also been asked to remember, once again, our brother Bill Hatfield. We pray that God would be with his father who was sick, and God called his father out of this world, so we ask once again that God be with Bill and his family. We will include a prayer of celebration for our anniversary today as well in the prayer of the church. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. At this anniversary, we reflect on your past help and are encouraged in our hope for the future. We praise you for keeping and sustaining your people throughout the ages and for preserving the preaching of your word and the administration of your sacraments among us. We praise you also for using us to bring to others the good news that sinners are reconciled to you through the life and death of Jesus Christ. Now we ask you to give us courage and hope as we move day by day into the future. Keep safe all those who assemble here in your name. Do not permit the evil one to pluck us out of your mighty hand. Strengthen us in the confidence that you have already overcome our greatest enemies, sin, death, and the devil. Increase our trust in your precious promise that you are with us always. Cause your Holy Spirit to work mightily in us and through us so that we may grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Be with us as we strive to pass down to our children the truths that have been passed down to us. Continue to make our congregation a beacon of your light in this sin-darkened world. Dear Heavenly Father, there is much that can darken our world and our hearts, especially when times of death draw near us and to our families. And so we ask that you be with our brother, Bill Hafill, and his family. We ask that you would enable him and his family to overcome sorrow in the same way they have overcome sin, death, and the devil themselves, through the good news of Jesus and his love. May the love of his Savior, our Savior, be with him and comfort Bill and his family in their time of mourning. We also entrust ourselves to you daily. Help us never to take for granted our health. So we ask that you would be with John Lervold's family, his Aunt Joan, and his Uncle John. We ask that if it is your will, you bless those who are treating John's Alzheimer's. We ask that if it is your will, that you would help him through the emergency that he went through this last week. We also ask that you bless those who will perform the surgery on his Aunt Joan today. We ask that you find the source of her bleeding and that if it is your will, that they can correct that to retain and to restore her health. We entrust all things, including our physical selves, to you and your wisdom and your love. Grant that this celebration of your gracious activity in years and ages past may be only the preview to that far greater celebration we will enjoy forever in the joy and glory of the world to come. Still be our guard while troubles last, and our eternal home. Amen. We stand to make our preparations to receive the sacrament this morning. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right, so to you.
It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lived among us as a human being and revealed his glory as your only Son, full of grace and truth. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Blessed are you, O God Almighty, who through Jesus Christ, your eternal Word, created all things and made mankind in your own image. Blessed are you, O merciful Father, for when Adam sinned and lost your image, you did not forsake the people you had created. You sent your only begotten Son to take on human flesh through the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary. As our substitute, he fulfilled all your laws in our place, and died the death we deserve because of our sin. Blessed are you, O God, our Savior, for you have gathered us here to remember Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf. In this meal, you give us his true body and blood, which paid our debt to you and assures us of your forgiveness. For all of your undeserved love toward us, we give thanks and praise to your living and life-giving name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Thank you.
Christ shed for you upon the cross for the remission of your sins.
May this your Savior's true body and true blood strengthen you and keep you in the true faith until life everlasting with him. Go at peace with God. Your sins are forgiven. Amen.
Continue with the ascending portion of our worship on page 15 in the worship booklet. Please stand.
Thank you.
give thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this Holy Supper. We pray that through it you will strengthen our faith in you and increase our love for one another. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Good morning once again, and thank you for being in God's house today. There is a lot on your calendars. There's a lot that fills up our time, and God be praised that you took some of it to be here today, to grow in his word, to be strengthened through his sacrament. So I appreciate your presence here. Thank you, Pastor, for traveling very far to be with us today and for sharing an anniversary celebration with us. And isn't it amazing that word and sacrament, the message has not changed since you've been here? It's the same word of God, and we thank you for your law gospel message for us today, and again for being part of our celebration. Pastor will also spend the Bible study hour with us. He will lead a Bible study in the sanctuary today, so the youth group Bible study will meet down here as well, as would the class that would meet in the gym. We'll all gather here for Pastor's Bible study presentation. I didn't receive any announcements. Are there any school or Pastor Stray church-related that I am... just accreditation? Do you have anything to say other than pray that it goes well?
Tuesday is Thursday. Thursday afternoon, 4 o'clock, that's when visiting teaching and report.
And we all thank you and the faculty for the hard work you've put in for that.
So we have a 50th anniversary year coming up, and that means, as Paul reminded his readers, that Jesus is now 50 years nearer to coming back than he was 50 years ago. I've been here for 5 years. That means Jesus is 5 years nearer to coming back than he was when I got here. There's a group of people in Fort Atkinson, Wisconsin, and Jesus is 160-some years nearer to coming back than when they started their ministry in Wisconsin. We have a huge task that has been placed before us, and without the Word of God and His sacraments, without the law gospel message that you heard today, it would go nowhere. Without the faithful efforts of God's people here at St. Mark's for the last 50 years, by God's grace, blessed by everything He's done, we wouldn't be here today. But by God's grace, we are. He has a purpose for you here at St. Mark's, and He has big things ahead. And I want to be part of the next 50 years of ministry here at St. Mark's. If you want to read the form letter, you certainly can. There's nothing in here that I don't think is as more important than Pastor Stray, and I need you right now. We need your time. We need your support. We need your commitment. We need your involvement, probably now more than ever, to get our school through another 40 years, 45 years this year, another 45 years. We have a whole other generation to train up, so I look forward to working with you. And thank you for your very kind words, your support, your insights. Thank you for no headlocks. I appreciated that very much. I look forward to Bible study hour with you. Please feel free to visit with one another, and then Pastor Pope and I will greet you one more time in the lobby.